Some of the views expressed on the Mormon Channel are solely for the education and inspiration of our audience and may not represent the official position of the Church.
Hi, welcome to Tech Savvy on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Elisa Sharton, and today we're talking about all things internet with Jay McFarland, the host of KSL Radio's 1160 The Browser, and also an author of two books.
Yep.
What's your books?
Freedom Ain't Free, which is about government, politics, and Joyful Union about marriage.
Oh.
Yeah.
I should read that. Yeah.
Okay.
And my other guest is one of my favorite people, Janet Thaler, who's author of the popular blog Newspaper Girl. She's also a business blogger. She works for Orange Soda Internet Marketing Company.
It is.
And she's very proficient at Facebook, right? You are the Facebook guru.
I love Facebook.
She's very good at Facebook. We're very excited to be here today and talk about all things technology and internet related. The thing that I found interesting, I was talking to a gentleman just the other day, and he said, I don't use technology at all. And I was like, really? And he said, I don't use technology at all because, you know, it's the internet. I don't do that. He goes, but I take pictures, and I put them on a disc, and then I send them to my kids, and I send them an email and let them know in their mailbox that they should look for this disc of photography that's going to be coming. And I said, honey, you use technology.
Yeah, that's all technology, right?
Yeah, I
it's
said
just old technology.
Well, I said, what kind of camera do you use? Oh, DSLR. And he named off this big old long camera that he used and everything. So I thought that was really interesting. A lot of people think that they don't use technology, but if you go to the grocery store, you use technology. If you pay your bills, you use technology. There's so many. I bought my house online from Chicago when we moved here. We found it online. Bought it online, found a mortgage online, the whole thing through the internet. So I'm really excited to have you guys here to talk to us about technology.
Yeah, it seems like there's a point when technology stops for people, right?
Yes.
So I use it up to this level. Mm-hmm. I can send email. I can take pictures. Mm-hmm. I'm done. Don't give me anything else. And I think people fail to realize that technology is getting easier and easier. There was a time when it was getting harder and harder.
Yes.
You had to know a lot of different things and push a lot of buttons.
Yes.
Nowadays, just find the pretty picture and push it.
And you're there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and it's our lifestyle. Before, it used to be like a hobby that everybody would do. Now it's your lifestyle. Everything is a part of our life with technology. So that's why this is so exciting. So I'm really glad to have you guys here. Let's talk about all of the different things that we can do online. I mentioned that I bought a house online and I got a mortgage online. What kind of things do you use the internet for? You have a job.
Everything.
Because of the internet.
Well, yeah.
What do we not use it for?
Exactly.
Right.
I mean, in my case, everything. Paying bills. In fact, Doug Wright on KSL News Radio, he came through the studio the other day saying, does anybody have a stamp? And I said, what is a stamp?
A stamp.
And why would you need it?
When you say stamp, I was thinking,
yeah, no, this stamp is for postage,
oh,
like to send things.
Oh.
He had one bill or something that required you send it via normal mail.
With a check?
Yeah. But everything else, he pays online, and that's what we do.
Yeah.
We pay everything online.
Let's talk about Mormon hacks. Do you guys have any websites that you just can't live without that help you do your callings at church or that just help you with the gospel or anything like that? Janet?
I like sugardoodle.net. Mm-hmm. It's great for primary because it's all on PowerPoint, and you can go through and edit out anything and add your own information, your own pictures, and then you put video clips in there. I just bring my laptop to primary and, you know, you can print everything off in your printer, cut it out, and it's almost a ready-made lesson, and I can study it on my phone or iPad or laptop, you know, and bring it with me so that I'm thinking about it and getting ready for lessons.
And that's fabulous. I do go there for my young women handouts when I was in young women's because I don't have a creative bone in my body. So that's fabulous. What about you, Jay?
Well, I use LDS.org almost exclusively just because the content is
rich.
Is so amazing. Mm-hmm. And the functionality is just getting better and better. They've just done so much with that website. But some of the other things we've started doing is asking questions on social media about something you're about to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of an interesting way of going about something. So, hey, does anyone have a story about this? Or tell me when something like this happened.
And you do that with your ward or your kid? You taught
just
seminary,
with
right?
With friends, right? Uh-huh. Right. And it's amazing the different ideas you get back. Just something as simple as saying, hey, I'm teaching a lesson this week on this topic. Any ideas? Anything that's
I love
worked?
That.
Right? And suddenly you have this pool of friends. It could be global, right? Saying, I tried this. I did this. And it's interesting that other people outside of that group, they kind of watch that going on too. And you're kind of sending out some subtle messages about what you do on Sundays.
I was going to say to your non-LDS friends that are watching your Facebook page or your Twitter page. Yeah, I really like that. I'm going to try that. I hadn't even thought of trying that. That's fantastic.
That's a great resource.
So you, with like your seminary lessons, you would post a question on Facebook and then let people kind of give you some feedback?
Yeah, I find, you know, there's some lessons you're really excited to teach because you have a lot of great experiences. There's other lessons where you think, this is kind of new to me. I haven't really experienced it yet.
Right.
And so that's a great opportunity to reach outside and ask questions. And normally that would be a phone call to the neighbor, you know, ask somebody that you're in close contact now with. But now you can ask hundreds of people.
People all at once, rather than just calling your mom and getting your mom's perspective.
Yeah,
you can get people that have the relevant age. I really like that. Okay, so Janet, you put something out through social media in preparing to come on this show, right?
Right. We actually have a group of LDS members, and we talk about social media in the church and discuss this. And I asked the group, you know, what websites do you use? And Elders Quorum President came back and said, I wish I had a better resource. What do you use? And, you know, sugardoodle.net came up and some other websites came up that people used. It's crowdsourcing. And I feel like the church is doing that more and more. And I love it. It makes me feel like I'm part of a huge global church.
Absolutely. I absolutely feel the exact same way when they involve us and takes it from being this great big institution down to an individual where we're all interacting with one another. Kind of like the new Mormon.org, where you can go and put in a profile.
Right.
You know, I want to have a man with blue eyes that likes to be on the radio, and they'll bring up a whole bunch of people that are just like you. Mm-hmm. That helps you to see that it's an individual church with individual people in it. I really like that. And the family home evening, getting ideas on the internet. I go to all sorts of different places to find ideas for family home evening. So that's awesome. I did that on my website too. I put out there, what are your favorite apps for LDS, doing your calling with your apps? And I was really interested to hear the things that they brought up with that and the websites that they use. Sugardoodle was one of the ones that they brought up a lot. And then also the tools, the LDS tools.
Yeah.
Now you do a really interesting thing where you prepare your lessons in the tools. Is that right?
It's actually in the new LDS Scripture app. I used to use other resources, but the church has done such a good job of updating these apps. In fact, there was another update that just came out recently that allows you to make all your notes on your iPad or your iPhone right in the LDS Scripture app, and then those automatically export to LDS.org. So if you're on your desktop, you have all your notes, all your tags, everything. Then you can grab your iPhone, they're all there. Then you can grab your iPad, they're all there. It just works without you thinking about it.
Seamless.
Yeah, and so to think that you have this tool that anywhere you go with internet access, you can have access to your scriptures, your content. I prepare my Deacon's Quorum lesson at home on the desktop, pick up my iPad, take it to church, and there it is. That's just brilliant.
Well, that's what I really like about it is I can have in my purse now. I used to carry my Book of Mormon for my mission with me everywhere I went because it had all the notes and everything in it. But that thing was huge.
Yeah.
Now I have it on my phone, and I can, because of the access from LDS.org, I have all my notes and everything from it took a long time to transcribe, but it's there and it's on my phone. And when I have free time, rather than wasting time, I can read my scriptures and do those kinds of things.
Or get ready for the lesson coming
up,
right?
Yeah.
You don't carry your lesson manual with you everywhere you go.
No.
But we do now. It's with me all the time.
Right. Yeah. You know, when I was at a broadcast, listening to the broadcast, and I was taking notes, and somebody said, is she texting? And no, I was over there taking notes on what the speaker was saying, and then they would pull up references to conference, and I could hurry and pull it up on my phone from LDS.org. It was fabulous to be able to interact with the lesson in a much different way than if I just had my manual there listening to
them. And pretty soon we're going to have the kids in our class are going to have their iPhones out or their phones and their technology probably.
Yeah, we're there. You just have to make sure, like in my seminary class, that they're in the scriptures.
Right.
Not somewhere else. Or something else.
Playing a
game. Not somewhere else.
Yeah, playing a video game or something. Yeah, but I think it makes it a much more interactive, and it makes it more personable when you're studying the gospel to have it with you all the time.
Do you know, I also think that it helps you to keep your baptismal covenants, to always remember him. because you have it with you all the time. Like you said, if you have a free moment, you can pick up your phone and you can read a scripture. I have a scripture of the day. I can ponder that. And I just feel like it's easier to fill your mind with good things. It's easier to keep that covenant to remember, because we know that life's crazy and it's hard to remember that. And so I love having it with me, and also being able to communicate with other people that believe like I do at any time.
We had a speaker come and speak to us in sacrament meeting. Gosh, this was a while ago, but it was really profound. He held up his phone and he said, "This is the only kind of a device where you can have the prophet or inappropriate material at the exact same time. And what do you choose to partake of?" And I really, that really stuck with me. What I have to choose the better part, and what do I choose to have with me when I have my free time? And that really is the case. Technology is fantastic. How do we choose to use it to make it so that it betters our lives is the key. And how do we teach our kids how to do that?
The other thing I love about the LDS Scripture app is when I am preparing a lesson, there was a great story this last Sunday. That is a great story on home teaching. Mm-hmm. Normally, it's in the lesson manual. It's not in your scriptures. They're separate. Do I write a little note in the margin about that story? How do I remember it?
Uh-huh.
With the LDS Scripture app, I tag that under home teaching. That's now a permanent tag. I can link to it on LDS.org, on my iPad. So to be able to bring all of those resources into one place and remember them years from now, spectacular.
And I think, also, don't you think, when as missionaries, we would try to come up with ways to help us remember why the scriptures were important to us. So you had like yellow was Christ or red was.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can tag it, and the same emotions and feelings you felt, the feelings of the Spirit, come again to testify to you again what it was that you read was true. Where it's harder, I have several chapters in my Book of Mormon that are entirely highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they were important,
but
I don't know, I can't remember why, and I can't remember the feelings. But this, it seems like, would evoke the Spirit to remind me again why it was that I tagged those things.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. President Uchtdorf said, "The church websites are good examples of how you can use technology as a wonderful resource of inspiration, help, and learning. They can be a blessing for you, priesthood holders, your family, and the church." The church has a huge presence online, and I'm wondering how many people are aware of all the fantastic resources available online. The ward directory, the stake directory, all of the callings, yes.
Calendars. Don't
calendars, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. All of the calendars are synced that you can do that. I wanted to talk quickly about all of the ways that the church is online. And the first one is MormonChannel.org. I love this website. It has everything under one big umbrella. And you can go and you can look at all of the podcasts that you can listen to. Look at all those podcasts that we can listen to. The history of the hymns. The one that my children love, that my 8-year-old begs every morning, I love this, is Scripture Stories. She begs every morning for me to turn on Scripture Stories. And it's a bunch of kids with a teacher, and they read the scriptures together, and then every couple minutes they stop and they talk about the big words that they were reading, and they talk about it, and then he asks some questions. This one, my kids love this one. We turn it on in the morning, and that's how we get our scripture study done, because I have high schoolers to preschoolers. So the high schoolers, we just turn on the Book of Mormon, which you can listen to right here from MormonChannel.org. You can listen to the Ensign. You can listen to The Friend. There's so many fantastic things that are available on MormonChannel.org.
Well, and of course, the extension of this is the Mormon Channel app.
Oh, my gosh.
Which
I use
every single day.
Me too. I plug in my my phone into my iHome, and I turn on General Conference, and I listen to General Conference.
It's great Conference to have that in your car. I used to have CDs in my car, you know, like we all did. And it's just regular music. Sometimes we had church, but my son, like probably most of our kids, are way into the internet. And if you can introduce things, you know, through a phone, through iPad, on the computer, they're much more open to it than just sitting down. And, you know, if you're a little ADD, you get distracted easily. But with the visual richness and, you know, the audio, I think it draws our kids in.
Well, our kids are there. Our kids are on the internet, and they're there. And so the church is providing fantastic content to engage them in the better things that are on the internet. That
in their language.
In their language.
Not on paper.
No. Like, what's that?
Yeah.
My daughter got grounded from technology because she got in trouble, the 16-year-old. So all of technology got away. And she said, I have an AP test coming up and I have to turn in an outline.
They
what am I
live
supposed to do?
Right.
And I said, I handed her a piece of paper and a pencil. And I said, gosh, that's, you know, old school.
This hard.
It's hard. Yeah. So I really enjoy all of the audio programs on there, but also all of the messages, the Mormon messages and the videos that are available for us to, it enhances all of our lessons that we would be doing, like Johnny Lingo. My goodness, fabulous. And then the Mormon messages. I wanted to talk a little bit about the Mormon messages. Do you guys use those Mormon messages? You do. You said you used them in your seminary lessons.
As a seminary teacher, I would check the YouTube site every day.
Uh-huh.
And just every time a new one came out, I couldn't wait. The kids loved them. You take a snippet from a conference talk that was powerful. You add imagery and music to it, and it just magnifies the message. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, my kids said, why can't all a general conference be like that?
Add some music to
it. Just pipe in music and video and all that stuff. Yeah. And it's just a quick, powerful accent to a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are teaching a lesson on faith or missionary work, I would always go to the Mormon channel and say, is there a Mormon message to go along with this? And like I said, they're always up.
The other thing I really wanted to talk about was the youth channel. There's the newyouth.org. They have a lot of, if you look over here in the side, Mormon messages for youth. And they've made specific messages for teenagers where they, I really love it, where they have kids talking to you about how they live the gospel and how the gospel applies to them. I think that is so powerful for teenagers to see other teenagers talking about the church and how it has impacted them. And I think it's fabulous that we've used the technology that's available to help them be able to do that.
I was going to say, a lot of times I see these pop up on Facebook mm-hmm. whenever something happens and there's a Mormon message that relates to it. So there's been a lot of plane crashes in the news lately. There's Elder Nelson talking about, you know, going through a plane crash with total peace because of his faith. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of, you know, if there's something that's happening in the bigger world that's kind of scary or something, I noticed my friends put up a video that's comforting that is related to that.
For instance, like 9/11, the video of hope, where they, I really liked that one where it talked about how the 9/11 changed his life and helped him realign his priorities and he felt hope when that was a very hopeless situation.
And that's a great missionary tool. I love that.
Well, especially when you just click share.
Yeah.
Click share so and you can send it out on Twitter, Facebook, add your own quick point to it.
And it's not scary.
No.
It's not scary at all. And it's not, you know, overbearing or overpowering mm-hmm. or anything. It's a very easy way for us to build upon our common beliefs to help them realize we all mm-hmm. are trying our very hardest to live close to the Lord. And here's something that can help you feel better about yourself. The other one that I really like is, have you guys seen The Vineyard?
Yes.
I love it.
I love The Vineyard. It makes me, is such a great way to be able to participate in service from my own home in my pajamas. Yeah, I love it. Have you gone and had a chance to go and look around on it?
Yeah, this is vineyard.lds.org.
Yes.
And I think they're just scratching the surface here.
Oh, for sure.
On what is going to be available. And the idea is, we may not have a lot of time because we have kids and family and all of those things, but do you have 10 minutes? Do you have a special talent that you mm-hmm. can go online and help translate?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from your mission, you have a language skill.
My mom doesn't speak any languages, and she was on there comparing German documents site because she's from her ancestors are from Germany. So they had her comparing documents side by side to make sure all the words were exactly the same. 10 minutes.
That's great. And you know, no you skills. Talked about your teenager got grounded from technology. We use that too.
Uh-huh.
And I think this is a good way to let them have technology mm-hmm. and do some good with it. So I'm going to start to use this more on Sundays before church. I'm just scratching the surface of it too, but I love the concept. Again, crowdsourcing.
Exactly. I was going to just bring up that term crowdsourcing. You used it earlier, how they're having all of us help them to get the information out there. And that's the perfect example of this. I was looking at some, if you go to the Vineyard's Facebook page, in the notes section, it lists all the things that they have available that they need help with. One mm-hmm. of them was, if you are a photographer and you take pictures, you can upload your pictures to the site.
You can upload music.
And they say, we've had too much of this. Don't send us any more babies.
Yeah, for sure.
Lots of cute babies.
Yeah,
right?
Well, and even like just going in and tagging mm-hmm. things so that it will be searchable. I mean, I was really impressed with that. And we actually talked about using the technology with your teenagers. My kids like to play video games. So for every 30 minutes they spend doing service on the Vineyard or indexing on familyhistory.org, they get 30 minutes of video game time. And it kind of goes hand in hand so that a little good comes out of the playing the NFL stuff that they like to play. So,
well, you think about the power of that. If every member of the church spent 10 minutes online just a week, that talk about magnifying the powers and abilities that we have. Mm-hmm. It's just incredible.
It
when
is.
You think
and,
about it.
And people think, well, I don't have any talents with technology, or I don't have any talents, I can't speak a language or whatever. Really, this is so easy. Uh-huh. A 10-year-old can do it. It's just very, very uh-huh. young children are able to come in and help participate with their families doing service line projects online.
I don't know if you were going to bring this one up, but create.lds.org is kind of for the artists. Mm-hmm. And so if you have someone in your family that's a musician, you can, you know, produce pieces that they can, you know, the church can use in the background of a video. Mm-hmm. Or you
really?
Can record that's your right. testimony. Or if you're a writer like mm-hmm. I am, mm-hmm. that's my most comfortable way of communicating. I can write out some of my experiences that people could use in brochures, lessons, manuals, things like that.
Or apps.
Oh, yeah.
They're
oh,
asking for
if you're a tech person.
Apps, if you,
yeah, they are.
Right.
Yeah.
Web extensions, uh-huh. apps, all
trying
of those
out
types
different.
Of
yeah, there's you yeah. can go in and participate in the forums to let them know this works.
Or the
this
tech.
Doesn't.
There's even tech days where mm-hmm. they get together right. developers and they work on projects together.
Yeah, yeah, it's fantastic. And you mentioned it was again create.lds.org mm-hmm. for right. music and writing. I like that. Yeah. That's fantastic. And all you have to do is you just go on. Line, you register, you need to use your member number, so you go on and get your membership number from your ward clerk, and you can go ahead and get that all set up, and then within less than 5 minutes, you're logged on, ready to go, and start offering your service with the church. So that's another really great website that we have available. The last one let's talk about is Twitter. I love Twitter, and I love Twitter at General Conference. Do you Twitter at General Conference?
I do. Let's talk. Mostly, I just, when I'm hearing a quote and I thought, oh, that was good, I can't write fast enough, then I just put a keyword in, search with a pound LDS mm-hmm. Conf, and I find out like 20 people have already put that quote up that are faster than I am. Mm-hmm. And so I can write it down and remember it. Or copy paste it.
Copy paste it. I started doing, they call it Twitter stake, where all the LDS members are on Twitter together and they'll do the Twitter stake and the hashtags, which is the pound sign. And then they'll do LDS General Conference. This is the one that we have brought up right here is the official LDS General Conference Twitter stream, and then they're tweeting it, and then people are, it's kind of almost a competition to see who can get the quotes out there the fastest with the hashtag of LDS General Conference, and then you can also hashtag Mormon and LDS. And what was interesting to me this last time, the hashtag LDS General Conference trended worldwide the entire weekend, and then it trended for like 5 or 6 days just nationwide after conference because people were still retweeting and tweeting and retweeting. You do Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Do you participate in doing General Conference online?
I don't typically tweet General Conference, but I will follow General Conference online. And one of the things I like is that feeling, you know, you're sitting in your living room with your family or in a church, and you may lean over and make a comment. And that's kind of what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
You're leaning over and you're making a comment, but Quiet. You're making it to however many followers you have, and they may be retweeting it. And it goes back to what you were talking about, this kind of feeling that we're a global church, but it's the kingdom of God, right? Mm-hmm. It's sharing its thoughts and feelings. And the other thing that's interesting is that quote may have jumped out to you, but it didn't jump out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see that it jumped out to you, and And now I'm like, wait a minute, that is impactful.
Yes.
That does make a difference.
Yes.
Because, you know, you could watch or read conference 5 or 6 different times, and every time something different is going to pop. So that retweeting or posting on social networking helps you see things that you might not have otherwise seen.
I agree with that. And it's kind of like when you lean over and you make a comment to your spouse, you're interacting, and it helps you to digest the information a lot better.
And reinforce it.
And in different ways. And see what is impacting other people to help you look at it from a different perspective.
Right.
I love doing general conference on Twitter. When I started doing it, gosh, it was probably 2 years ago, conference took on a whole new meaning for me. It became a more, I mean, I listened to it and stuff at home, but I was more focused on hearing the words of the prophets, and it impacted me a lot more. And some people it wouldn't have that effect, but for me it really did. It was became much more personal, because I was thinking and I was tweeting and I was putting out the quotes, and then I could go back and read my stream and see what it was that had impacted me as I was hearing the words of the prophets speak to me. So,
well, one of the things I found in my personal scripture study, watching conferences, what you're talking about. When you start reading something to teach it or to share it, it becomes different.
It does.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what you're talking about. When I'm in the scriptures making notes about how I'm going to share this, that's what I loved about seminary, is it made me think about those things every single day. Your perspective is completely different, and the Spirit will teach you in completely different ways.
When you've been online and watching those things online, have you seen the people that are maybe a little bit more negative? And I think the
haters come out.
The haters, yeah.
They feel like we take over Twitter. I really think there's a sentiment. Mm-hmm. And I actually, my account is pretty new business, so I don't actually tweet, from that account. Uh-huh. But I watch it, and people do. They get annoyed. It's like we've taken over.
And so here's the question then. They call them the haters, or they also call them trolls. How do you... My own personal philosophy is don't feed the trolls in negative comments. But how do you handle that? What would be a way that we could handle that better?
I'm with you. I just, if they want to engage in a real, genuine way, then, I mean, I was a missionary too, and people I knew were ready to bash and fight. I just opted out of that. I'm not really, that's not my personality to go and fight head to head. Doesn't invite the Spirit. And so I mean, Twitter is a great big stream going by fast. And so
Very fast.
It go by.
Yes.
Yeah, I would suggest, especially being a member of the media, that all Twitter noise is good Twitter noise.
Yes.
And that the haters that are retweeting are bringing attention, right? And so you talk about your response is very important. Is it a Christ-like response?
Right.
Do you bear down in testimony? Do you ask questions? Is always a great method to say, are you suggesting this? Because I can help you out with that. Mm-hmm. That type of tack can have some benefits. More often than not, you may not affect that individual, but you have to realize online, for every person that's posting something or commenting, you may have 1,000 others that are just watching. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's
so
a good point.
Those are the ones you're going to have an impact on.
And you might have an opportunity to make some correction, or it just, like, people like to get responses on social media from brands if they make a complaint. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. You can actually respond, and that makes you seem more real to that person. And it's harder to hate someone or be upset with them when they feel real, even if you disagree.
Yes.
And you can have some chances to
correct the misinformation, but not necessarily go for the jugular.
Show forth love.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Have a Christian attitude.
Yes.
You know, on my show, we get hate mail.
Yeah.
It's the nature of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny how often people will fire off a nasty email and they don't view us as real people.
Right.
And so the minute I respond kindly to their email, first they're shocked. Like, wait, this is a real person, and they really read my message.
Yeah.
And so their attitude will instantly change, right? Wow, you really do care because you responded.
Mm-hmm.
So that can elevate the situation. And then when you do so in kindness and ask questions and show forth love, it's amazing how many times you can turn that opportunity into something great, either a loyal listener for my program or somebody who is, they may not turn around and call the missionaries, but they may stop just letting tweets fly off the handle,
and
or
then they
emails.
Become your biggest defender.
Yeah.
I noticed that when I just you just correct with kindness and you show forth love, like you said, the people that had started out being the haters became our biggest defenders, and people that were like, you know, they're not crazy. They're just normal people like we are.
Yeah,
I really agree with that. Thank you so much for being on our show today.
So
this
glad
has
to be
been
here.
So fun and talking about all the things that we have available from the church. If you'll go to mormonchannel.org under Tech Savvy, you'll be able to find some of the links to the things that we have talked about today. Thank you for joining us on Tech Savvy on the Mormon Channel, a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm your host, Elisa Sharton, and we'll see you next time.